But let's pray. I want to pray just quickly. Ask the Lord to bless our time together in His Word. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we know that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from Your mouth. And like a newborn babe, we want to desire the milk of the Word so that we can grow. We pray that You would feed us today, even though this message will be very simple, something that we've heard before. I pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You might strengthen us and encourage us, fortify us. I pray that You might bring it to pass that every single person in this room would know You, would be born again, know Jesus Christ. And I pray that every single person in this room would know what their spiritual gift is and how to use it to build up the church. So guard my mouth, that I might build up the church today with the gifts You've given me. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're taking a look right now in January. It's the beginning of the year. Beginning of the year is always a great time to kind of take stock of things. Like a lot of times people in the beginning of the year will start a new diet. So maybe some of you are on the Atkins diet or the seafood diet. Seafood diet, you know. Seafood, you eat it. I'm on a 24-hour diet, which is eat night and day. But hopefully, we have New Year's resolutions physically, but spiritually, we need to take stock of things. And we hope to do that this early on in January. So the church vision is what we want to look at and remind ourselves and recap our church vision. Our church vision is quite simple. I think we'd be pleasing to God if we could all do these three things. We want to be people who behold God. We see God. We want to know God. We say, God, show me Your glory as an individual. I want to be in Your Word. I want to be a beaver for the Bible. I want to know Your Word so well, and I want to see You every time I meet with You. Grow in my faith. We want to behold God individually. We want to behold God as a corporate group together. We talked about that last week. In a small group and then also in this large group, that we would be people who behold God. And we really, that's our goal, is we want to know this God of the Bible. We also want to be people who belong to the church in a deep way. If behold is the vertical, belong is the horizontal. We don't want to be just people who attend church, but we want to have relationships with one another in such a way that we are doing those one another's of the Bible. We are praying for one another. We're bearing one another's burdens. We're encouraging one another, admonishing each other, teaching each other. Excuse me. And as we mentioned last week, stirring one another up toward love and good works. We want to also be people who are sent. We are sent, whether we realize it or not, but we want to see and be focused on locally and globally proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ, who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We'll talk about that next week. But this week, we're going to focus on the horizontal again and just kind of refresh what it means to belong to the body of Christ. How can we really belong to one another? It's not just belonging to a church, okay? A church is actually comprised of people that we have relationships with. How do we belong to the church? Well, we belong to the church by building one another up with the gifts that God has given us. I think if we really want to belong to the church, if we really want a kind of a barometer by which to judge if we're belonging to the church, then we are people who are actually trying to build other people up in this room and in this church. So today, I'm afraid, is going to be very simple and hopefully clear as we talk about spiritual giftedness that God gives to each believer. We're not going to walk through each of the spiritual gifts that are in the Bible, because there are many of them in the Bible, and I think you'll see today in one of the passages that there are many gifts that are not even probably mentioned in the Bible. If you want to know more about spiritual gifts, you can go to our website. So I preached some time ago a series called From Willingness to Giftedness, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I preached 5 messages on spiritual gifts that might be of help to you. You can find that on the website. Today, what I primarily want to encourage us to do is this. Use your spiritual gift to build up this church. Use your spiritual gift or gifts to build up this church. And maybe we say it negatively. Don't neglect the gift you have. Don't neglect the gift you have. So here we go. First thing we want to see is this. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has a gift. I don't know if you believe that or not, or if you know that or not, but it's not just some people in the church who have a gift. And I might add that the pastor, God did not design for the pastor to have all of the gifts. Any of you who've known me over the last 3.5 years can tell you that I don't have all of the gifts. And I'm glad that I don't. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So these are topical messages that I am using over the beginning of the year. After Chinese New Year, we'll be going through the book of Psalms for a while. Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, Psalm 4, until Easter. We've got a couple of passages today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. I want you to see this. See, there's a couple of things to see in here. But primarily, I want us to see that you have a gift, and I have a gift. Now, you may have more than one gift, but you at least have one. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Now, there are varieties of gifts. That's why I said there may be some that are not in the Scripture. But the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, verse 6 is pretty clear when it says, everyone has a gift. God empowers them all in everyone. In verses 7 through 11, also we see that it says the Spirit gives to each one. And the word individually is even there. It gives to each one individually as he wills. By the way, verse 7 is actually a good definition of what a spiritual gift is. Look what it says. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's somewhat of a definition for us. Now, I want to be careful when I say this. I hope you understand what I mean. The gift that each believer is given is actually the Holy Spirit Himself. Okay? You believe that, right? Each individual believer has the Holy Spirit. Okay? The gift is the Holy Spirit given to each believer. And then the Holy Spirit in each believer manifests Himself in a way that builds up the body of Christ. Okay? So it's not like some strange thing that people have. It's the Holy Spirit that we have, but the Holy Spirit in us has a unique giftedness that He gives each believer. And it says that it is for the common good. So He gives to each one a manifestation of the Spirit of God, a gift for the common good. Make no mistake about it, you have a gift. Isn't that good news? You have a gift. Now think about this. God, the only God, the maker of all things, the maker of the universe, gave you a gift. A special enabling by which, through His Spirit, you are to build up the church. You have a gift. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what your gift is? Number one, everybody has a gift. Okay? Mentions everyone, to each one individually He gives. Actually, some of these other passages, you'll see the same thing as we go on. Number one, you have a gift. Number two, the purpose of the gifts is to build up the church. The purpose of the gifts is to build up the church. It's not to build up yourself, or it's not to so that you're wonderful or something like that. It's to build up other people in the church. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12:7 just a second ago, that it said it was for the common good. And other scriptures we want to look at show that it's very clear what the purpose of spiritual gifts are. So turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll see here the purpose of the gifts is to build up the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, it's on the screen. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, quote, when He ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men, end quote. You saw there, it says that gifts were given to each one. Verses 11 through 16 says this. My microphone just got much louder for some reason. I don't know. I have no idea why. Verses 11 through 16 says this. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. Okay? That actually means to full grownness in the Greek. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You saw all of those phrases there. Many different things. Equipping, building up the body to reach full grownness, maturity, the measure of the stature of Christ, to grow. That's the purpose of the spiritual gifts. To build up the church so that the church grows. By the way, that's not just in more people, but that's a growth of depth in maturity to where we all look like Christ. So, brothers and sisters, firstly, we all have a gift. And secondly, that gift is to be used to build up the church. Thirdly, I want us to see in Scripture that it's clear that Christians don't automatically use their gifts. Christians don't automatically use their gifts. It's not like we are just, I'm a Christian, so it's just kind of happening. Like there's some kind of process and it's just happening. I'm just doing these things automatically. There is an exhortation in the Bible to use our gifts. Something we must do. The gifts are to be used, number three, and not neglected. Gifts are to be used and not neglected. Romans chapter 12. By the way, there are many passages in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts. I'm amazed at at the vastness of the Bible talking about spiritual gifts, and yet it's not talked about very much in churches. That's a travesty. I think maybe in some ways we're scared to talk about spiritual gifts if we're not a Pentecostal or a charismatic church, because then we're kind of like, oh, we don't really want to go there. We should go there because it's in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. You'll see some of these same things mentioned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Why does Paul have to say to the church in Rome, use your gifts? Why does he even have to say that? Because it's not automatic that it's just happening. Again, 1 Peter chapter 4. Very similar passage. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 says this: as each has received a gift, there it is again, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I'm not really going to mention this, but let me just say this in passing. In all of these passages, it talks about God's grace. God's grace has given you these gifts. Good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why does Paul need to say to the church in Rome, use your gifts? Why does Peter need to say to the churches scattered all throughout Asia Minor, use your gifts? Because it's not an automatic thing that we are just going to do it. We need to labor and work at using our gifts. They can be neglected. And I'll show you why I say that, and that's our focal passage in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, the passage that ladies read. So turn in your Bible to the focal passage, 1 Timothy 4. I got there instead of at the beginning, I got there at the end today. Turn to 1 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 16, or 13 through 16. Notice very carefully what he says to Timothy. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So Timothy has a gift. It was recognized, it seems, from this passage that someone in the church said a word or spoke a word about, or we could say maybe over Timothy, and said something like this. That young man right there, God's called him to preach. Or Timothy, I think God has given you the gift of pastor shepherd. Or maybe they were praying like Acts 13 and the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work which I have called them. So somehow, it says, the council of elders laid their hands on him, and either that's when it happened or they recognized what the Holy Spirit was calling him to do and they set him aside for this work of seems pastor shepherd. The Holy Spirit given him a gift. And they recognized that. The church recognized his gift. So Paul's exhortation to him is interesting in this passage. He says to him, do not neglect the gift that you have. And instead, he says to him this. Did you notice in verse 15? Practice these things. Practice your gift, Timothy. These things refers to what? The public reading of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. That's how Timothy is to practice his gift. Practice your gift, Timothy. And what else does he say? Immerse yourself in them. Timothy, practice your gift. And how can you practice it? By immersing yourself in these things. Reading the Scripture, teaching the Scripture to people. And at the bottom, he says, persist in this. So I might add now, before I even get to application, we have the Scripture telling us how you know what your gift is. Make no mistake about it, Christian. You have a spiritual gift. We all have a gift. And the gift is to be used, number one, we all have one. Number two, Your gift is to be used to build up the church. And number three, your gift is to be used, not neglected. Do not neglect your gift. You should not do that. We are to use them. Practice it. Immerse ourselves in our gift. Let me show you one more passage. I don't know who's translating into Putonghua, but I'm going to throw something in that's not in my notes, so you'll have to kind of wing it. Turn to 2 Timothy. It's not going to be on the screen either. It's not going to be on the screen, okay? 2 Timothy. I want you to see this other passage. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look in verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. He says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." By the way, did you know that that famous passage about power and love and a sound mind is in the context of Timothy needing to fan into flame his gift? He says to Timothy, by the way, the gift here, because he says fan into flame, and the fire and flame usually referring to the Holy Spirit, seems that the gift of God here is talking about the Holy Spirit who is in him. But it seems that Timothy may have a problem with timidity. Maybe he has a problem with using his gift. And so Paul, again, not just in 1 Timothy, but in 2 Timothy as well, tells him, fan it into flame, the gift that you have been given, which is the Holy Spirit in you manifesting himself for the common good of the church. So, now, give us some points of application. Very simple, not complicated. What is your gift? What is the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you? Do you know? Do you know? I find, and maybe it's because we don't teach on it enough in churches, but I find that majority of people that I ask what your spiritual gift is, most people don't know. And if you don't know, you should know. So what should you do? If you're in here this morning and you say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, that's okay. Here's my encouragement to you. Pray and ask God to reveal to you and show you what your spiritual gift is. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Maybe the reason why you don't know what it is because you really haven't asked God to show you. God is not in the business of trying to hide things from people that they desire to know. Does that make sense? It's not like we have a God who's a cosmic killjoy who just wants to say, they are really seeking to know what their spiritual gift is, but I'm going to do my best to keep it from them. Number one, ask God to show you what your spiritual gift is. Number two, ask the church. Ask the church body, what is my spiritual gift? And they might be able to tell you. ask the church body things like this. How is it that I build up this church the best? The church will know if you are involved enough and have served enough for people to tell. But the church won't know if you're not serving. If you're not busy serving in the church won't know what your gift is because they haven't been able to tell. Makes sense, right? Interestingly enough, in Romans chapter 12, when Paul mentions spiritual gifts, do you know what passage of Scripture comes right before it? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him, which is your spiritual act of worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable, the acceptable will of God. Do you know how to know what your spiritual gift is? Die. Die to serving the church. And when you give up your rights or your preferences for how much you want to be involved or how much you want to attend and get plugged in, when you give that up and you just say, hey, however you guys need me around here, I'll be willing to help. That's how you find out your spiritual gift. Pray and ask the Lord, and He will show you. Get involved in the church and serve, and they will be able to tell you. If you don't know your gift. Number two, are you using your gifts to build up this church? Your gifts are to be used primarily, not solely, but primarily to build up the people in this room. We all have friends. We all have relationships. We all might be involved in other ministries around town. But primarily, what it means to belong is to build up the people in this room with your gifts. Number three, are you neglecting your gift? Are you neglecting your gift? Let me say it like this. If you're not using your gift to build up the body, then you are neglecting your gift. If you're not using your gift, the gifts that God's given you, I don't know what those are. If you're not using your gifts to build up this body, then you're neglecting your gift. God has given you gifts. Use them. Use them. Practice them. Immerse yourselves in them. Because the body of Christ needs you to do that. You want to hear something very scary? All of us in this room, did you know that our spiritual maturity is dependent on one another? Because if each part is not operating and functioning the way it's supposed to, then that means we have a spiritual deficiency and malnourishment in some area. And we have some spiritual deficiencies in some areas. And sometimes we might be tempted to think that what needs to happen is we need to go find some people out there who can come in here and fill those needs. When really the truth is that those needs are probably able to be met by the people in this room. Our maturity depends on each other building one another up. My spiritual maturity is dependent upon you. It's like we are interlinked and our roots are intertwined. And so if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice. Well, what does it mean to belong to the body? Our second core value statement, or vision statement, or vision word. It means we belong by building one another up with the gifts that God has given you, given us. So get busy using your spiritual gift to build up this body. We need you to do that. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I know that in me trying to build up this body with the gifts that you've given me, there will be some of the things that I said this morning that are profitable. And some of the things that I've said this morning are for building up. And I pray that you would bring much fruit from that by your grace, through your Spirit, through the Word of God. And I pray that that human element of, if I've said anything this morning that's not for the building up of this body, that you'd cover my tracks. And that it would be forgotten out of everyone's minds. And only what is beneficial for the maturity of this congregation, that only that would remain. God, I pray that you would cause in every single person in this room that your Holy Spirit would well up in them in such a way that their giftedness would come to the surface and that they would overflow in their giftedness, manifesting your glory to people around them, so that this body will continue to grow. Lord, I pray for a person in this room who doesn't know what their gift is. I pray that you would show them, that you would make it plain to them, and that they would practice it and immerse themselves in it and persist in it, so that Jesus Christ may be glorified through the church. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.